that you would shine forth in our hearts this morning. Father, use me as you will. Father, teach us your word. Father, convict our hearts. In your name, amen. And go ahead and look at Daniel chapter 2 there, and let's just walk through this story here together. Daniel chapter 2, verse 1, and in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his spirit brake from him. And the king commanded all the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said unto them, I've dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac. Now, understand this. Let's grab a little bit of context here. The Chaldeans were a specific sect or a group that fit within the Babylonian Empire, right? They're not original to the Babylonian Empire. These are people that had migrated, but then played a significant role in the growth of Babylon. This is a tribal group from outside that's come in and joined the Babylonians, but now they're very influential in there. In fact, many of them became politicians. Chaldeans were known for their understanding, for their study of astrology, and they were considered pretty much as wise men. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar II, the king that we see here in this story, was a Chaldean. And here we see whoever it is that is speaking on behalf of the Chaldeans in this story. This guy, this wise guy, wants an edge. Right, he wants to get the inside track, so he speaks to the king in his own language. The language of the Chaldeans was Syriac. The language natural to the Babylonians was Aramaic. So we have this sort of a position here where the Chaldeans or an individual from the Chaldeans, we're not sure who, but he speaks to the king in the king's own language. But everybody else that's in the room there, the magicians and the soothsayers and all of that other those other people, they probably didn't quite have a full grasp of what's happening here, of what this guy is speaking of here. And he says to the king, O king, live forever. What a suck up, right? Like here he is, he's gone around the side, he's speaking in the king's language directly to the kings, and the other Chaldeans could have heard it, and he starts off with, oh, king, live forever. Now, if he was out with Dave Holowaty hunting, I'd ask Dave, what do you think of this guy? But I'm not going to ask him because, well, we don't want to know really, but this guy's a suck up. He says, tell thy servants the dream and we will show you the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. Hey, I've forgotten the dream. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces and your house shall be made a dunghill. Tell me my dream and then interpret it. If you don't, I'm going to wipe you out, your family out, and all your stuff out. But if you show me the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and interpret thereof. Now, verse 7, we get into a little bit of this guy's character, but I would have started making it up at that point. Right? On one side, I've got the opportunity to be rich. On the other side, I'm going to get dead and my family's wiped out. If I don't know it, I'm going to start making something up, aren't I? Verse 7, and they answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. And the king answered and said, I know of certainty that you would gain the time. Hey, you're just stalling. King already knows this guy's character. He knows this guy's just stalling for time because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for thee. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there's not a man on earth that can show the king's matter. So we start off, and the Chaldean's buttering him up, but now he's getting a bit defensive. There's no one that can do that. Look at what he says there. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such a thing at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth. There is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. He starts off by trying to butter up the king, and then they get a little bit defensive, but now he's just downright insulting. There's no one on earth that would ask a question this foolish. No other king, no other lord, no other person on earth would ask this. Everybody knows that no one can answer this question except for these gods. He's insinuating, King, you're a fool. Verse 12, for this cause the king was angry and furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. It's a pretty dire situation now. It would appear that Daniel and his friends hadn't been invited to this meeting between the king and the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans. They hadn't been invited to this meeting. But the king is so angry that everyone who falls within that category is about to be killed. If you remember back to Daniel chapter 1, verse 4, Daniel and the other young men, it says, and such had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have for the past couple years been taught by these men to be like these men. And now, even though they weren't even in the room, they're going to be judged like these men. The situation is grim. The wise men are fleeing, and the executioner is on his way. Look at verse 13. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. You know, sometimes the sin of others, the wrong of others, the poor judgment of others, the rash decisions of others impacts us, doesn't it? Sin always has a ripple effect. There's always a consequence for sin, and we see that impacting Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego here. But I want you to notice with me quickly how Daniel doesn't respond. We saw how the Chaldean responded, but I want you to see how Daniel doesn't respond. Because this tells us as much about his character as how he will respond in just a minute. Notice that Daniel doesn't panic. He doesn't panic. The executioner is at the door, but Daniel's not panicking. The king's own people, the Chaldeans, are included in this plan for execution, this command that's gone out. What hope does Daniel have? Daniel's but a slave boy that's come from an enemy nation. If the king's own people, the Chaldeans, are about to be executed, what hope does Daniel have? But Daniel doesn't panic. He doesn't resort to blame. Hey, it wasn't me. It was those wise guys. Maybe they had a little bit too much of the king's meat and a little bit too much of the king's wine. It was those guys. But Daniel doesn't resort to blame. And notice he doesn't go to pieces. He's not whimpering. He's not blubbering. He's not in a mess in the corner on the floor pleading and begging for mercy. No, what do we see here about Daniel? We see that his dependence is on something else. We see that his faith is on something else. We see Daniel's character here in these few moments. Have a look at verse 14. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom. Daniel's response is calm. It's measured. Daniel's response is indicative of someone who has set the foundations for victory, someone who has drawn lines for victory, someone who has the faith to be victorious when facing the impossible. Daniel's calm response cooled things down enough that he was able to not just request an audience with the king, but also to request time so that he could show the king the interpretation. Here's the first thought I want you to take away this morning. When faced with the impossible, like Daniel, be measured in your response. Respond with counsel and wisdom. When faced with the impossible, respond with counsel and wisdom, or perhaps we could say tact and discretion. Look at Proverbs 15, verses 1 through 2 with me. We know these verses. Proverbs 15, 1 through 2, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge or right, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. We saw a perfect example of that in the Chaldeans, don't we? His mouth poured out foolishness, and that foolishness resulted in the king being very angry and nearly resulted in him losing his head. Daniel, on the other hand, his response resulted in calming the situation. As believers, our response in situations comes from what's in here. How we respond is a result of our closeness with God. It's a result of what we believe about God. I think of Galatians 5, verse 22 and verse 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Our response to situations in our lives should be guided by that work of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is bringing to fruition those things within our lives. The measure of our walk with God is proved in difficult times. It's in the times where it looks like the executioner is at the door that our faith is measured. The measure of that work of the Holy Spirit in our lives shows out in how we respond to situations. When faced with the impossible, we can respond like Daniel with counsel and wisdom because we are children of the Most High God, and because as believers we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit who guides us in truth and who helps us with our response. You know, one of the people that stands out to me, and I'm going to embarrass him here in a minute, but one of those people that stands out to me in this category is Shada. I don't know if you've had time to sit down and talk to Shada, or if you've been in a situation before with Shada where you've had to deal with something that's difficult, but one of the things that stands out to me about Shada is his way that he responds. He's very careful, he's very measured, and his response is indicative of his time in the Word of God. We don't often talk about other believers in our church like that, but Shada, I've grown to appreciate Shada more because of the way that he responds in situations. I've desired to learn more from Shada because of the way that he responds out of the Word of God. That's how we should be to each other. Let's keep working through this story this morning. When faced with the impossible, respond with counsel and wisdom. Now look at the next part. Daniel gets an audience with the king. Verse 15, he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, Why is the decree so hasty from the king? And Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. And Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Now look at this again. Grasp the gravity of this situation. The executioner is at the door. Daniel hasn't run away. He's not hiding. He's not making excuses. But he does manage to avert the wrath of the executioner with his conscience. But the executioner is just doing the king's bidding, right? This is an angry king. And if the executioner doesn't follow through with this angry king's command, well, it's the executioner's head that's on the block. The executioner isn't the real problem, he's just the immediate problem. And Daniel's calmed that down, but if that stay of execution is going to remain, then the real problem, the king's wrath, needs to be addressed. So Daniel goes in to see the king, and that's a huge step of faith. Look at verse 16 with me. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time. Desired of the king that he would give him time. And that's a massive request already. King's already made it clear, I'm not interested in you stalling for time. But the next part's a whole nother matter altogether. He says, and that he would show the king the interpretation. King, give me some time and I'll show you the interpretation. He didn't even ask him for the dream. Think about the step of faith here. Daniel doesn't know what's going to happen. Daniel didn't know the king's dream. He, unlike the Chaldean, he didn't ask for it. He steps out in faith, trusting God, trusting that God will reveal the dream to him and that he will reveal the interpretation of the dream to him. In the face of the impossible, Daniel trusts God and steps out in faith. A second point this morning, when faced with the impossible, trust God with the details and step out in faith. When faced with the impossible, trust God with the details and step out in faith. Look at this, though it doesn't stop here. Skip over the next couple verses. Have a look down at verse 19. Not only did he step out in faith, but then he rests in God. Have a look at verse 19. Then was the secret revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel has a dream. Notice this. Daniel commits to the king that he's going to reveal the interpretation of a dream that he doesn't even know. And then Daniel goes home and goes to sleep. How many of you have ever had something big on tomorrow? And you go to bed and you just toss and turn and you can't sleep. Who's been there before? Yeah? Some of you are like, that's every night. Yeah, and maybe you get up and you think, oh, I just got to go and find grandma's old remedy for sleeping. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you fill a bath full of warm water. Trust me, I've tried it. Fill a bath full of warm water and you try and just relax a little. Maybe you go and make yourself some chamomile tea, yeah, and you try and do, I don't know, chamomile. I think that's an old wives' tale. It doesn't work, does it? Maybe it works for you. You know, but we try and go through all these things. Anything we can do to get back to sleep. But the reality is, what we should be doing is handing that over to God and just trusting that God will deal with it. We talked about that when we looked at Daniel chapter 1, setting the foundations for victory. We can rest in the knowledge that God is sovereign and that God is in control. Daniel's leaning into that now. He goes home and he goes to sleep. Think about Psalm 56, verse 2 with me. It says, "Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for there are many that fight against me. O thou most high, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what the flesh can do to me." That's David's heart as he prays when he's being hunted down by Saul. David stepped out in faith. Daniel stepped out in faith. He trusted God. And then as he had in the past, he rested in God. As believers, that should be our heart. When the way ahead seems impossible, we step out in faith. What does that mean? It means trusting God at his word. It means trusting that God will do what he promised he will do. Andrew talked about this last week on Sunday night. And those promises that we have in the Word of God. And I was sitting in my car driving with Aspen and Connor to school on Monday morning. And we had this great conversation about exactly that point. That how often we as people, as believers, how often instead of going to God's Word, we go to worry, we go to anxiety, we go to other solutions. But within God's word, the answer is already there. The promise is there. But how often do we not go there? Daniel trusted God. Two more points to this story this morning, so let's keep moving. We saw already that if we are to have victory when facing the impossible, we must respond with counsel and wisdom. We saw that we trust God with the details and we step out in faith. So Daniel requests time from the king and he commits that he'll come back to the king with the interpretation. But look at where he goes next. Look back at verse 17, chapter 2, verse 17. "Then Daniel went to his house and he made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God in heaven concerning this secret. That Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon." Friends, when faced with the impossible, don't go it alone. When faced with the impossible, don't go it alone. Daniel went to the people that he knew would go to God in prayer. Not just people that would agree with him. And how often do we do that? We have a point of frustration, or we have a big decision to make, or we have something that's in our lives that's causing us to lose sleep. How often do we go to the people that are going to agree with us? Instead of going to people that are going to give us wise counsel, instead of going to people that are going to go to God in prayer, we go to the people that are going to be part of that echo chamber. That's what we see so much on social media. Something happens, I post it as quickly as I can onto social media because I want people to feel sorry for me. I want people to get involved in that conversation. Instead of it people being providing wise counsel, it just becomes a self-licking ice cream. Scripture gives us two places that we should go when we're faced with the impossible. The first place we should go is prayer. Have a look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Again, these are verses that we know. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." Be careful for nothing. Don't attach so much care to something that it's distracting your heart from what's important. Don't attach so much anxiety to something that it takes you away from trusting God. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. I'm not attaching my care to this. Instead, I'm taking it to God in prayer, and I'm allowing God to work in me and give me that peace instead of being anxious about this. Be careful for nothing. Daniel was a man of prayer. We see that later on in this book. We must be people of prayer. One of my favorite verses, and a verse that has been important to me for many, many years, is Isaiah 26, verse 3. It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." Why? Because he trusteth in thee. Perfect peace, because I trust the God of peace. So we go to God in prayer, but there's also, we go to those around us who are going to check our hearts and who are going to go to God in prayer for us. I go to God in prayer, but then I also go to others who are going to uplift me in prayer. But those same people are going to check my heart. I think sometimes in our pride, we're willing to go to God, but we're not willing to go to each other. Because maybe in my pride, I don't want to expose that there's a little bit of fear here. I don't want to expose that I'm having a struggle here. I'm wrestling here. Instead, we start to make up excuses, don't we? This is my problem, and I dug this hole. Really, I need to dig my way out of it, right? Or maybe we say, hey, that person's got enough burdens already. I'm not going to lay that burden on them, because we start to make excuses in our own mind for it, don't we? Paul often requested prayer. If you have a look through his letters, just have a look, a couple here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 2 says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us. The word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." Here's Paul asking for prayer. He's going to other believers and saying, pray for me. Now have a look at Romans 15, verse 30. "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that you strive together in unity, praying with me for me, so that I have a ministry." Verse 31, "that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints." Pray for me, with me, that I have an impact on those that are unsaved, but also other believers. If we're going to have victory in the face of the impossible, we must respond with counsel and wisdom. We must trust God with the details and step out in faith. And now we've seen that we can't go it alone. We need to go to God in prayer, but we also need to invite others into that. We need to be willing to invite others to pray for us. Let's look at the last one here this morning. When faced with the impossible, give God the glory and keep walking in faith. Look at verse 19 again with me. Chapter 2, verse 19. "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision." So Daniel goes to sleep and God reveals the secret to him. What does Daniel do next? Have a look at the second part of 19 there. "Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and he setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He receiveth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth in him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hath given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me what we discern of thee. For thou hast made known unto us the king's matters." Daniel stepped out in faith, trusting God, trusting that God would reveal this secret to him. And now Daniel goes to God and he praises God. And if we didn't know the rest of the story, we'd go, that makes absolute sense, right? We pray to God that he'll give us something, and then he gives it to us, and we're like, yes, thank you, Lord. But there's something else here. The secret isn't good for the king, and it's not good for Daniel. But Daniel still praises God in this and continues to walk forward in faith. Daniel still has to take this news, this bad news, to an angry king. A king who's chomping at the bit to chop the wise guy's heads off. This news isn't good news. It's news that's going to infuriate the king, potentially. And Daniel knew that. But he still praises God. He still keeps walking by faith, as the situation looks impossible. Have a look at verse 24. We're almost there. "Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon." Daniel goes to the executioner and went and said thus unto him, "Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation." Hey, notice this. Just as we talked about this a little bit ago, just as the actions of someone else's sins have a consequence, there's a ripple effect from someone else's sin, right? There's also a ripple effect from someone else's faithfulness. Friends, your actions, your steps of faith, your response when faced with the impossible has an impact on other people. Let's keep going. 25. "Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus into him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers and the magicians and the soothsayers show the king." Look at this next part here. Daniel doesn't take glory to himself. He had every opportunity to go, hey, look at me. They couldn't do it, but I can. Have a look at this. "But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What shall come to pass hereafter? And he revealeth secrets, maketh known to thee what shall come to pass." When faced with the impossible, Daniel trusted God. And even when the dream wasn't good news, Daniel glorified God and continued to walk in faith. He honors God in that. And later on in this chapter, and we won't go into it this morning, but later on in this chapter, Daniel reveals the dream and the king promotes Daniel and the other young men. And Daniel glorifies God. This morning we saw that Daniel has victory in the face of the impossible because he glorified God in his actions despite not knowing what was ahead and despite the fact that it seemed like it was all impossible. What's this mean for us today? What's this mean for you? As you face the impossible today, how do we live that out? Friends, this morning it starts with how we respond. Daniel's character was already set in place. We saw that in chapter 1 as he's faced there with an impossible situation. And now we see it again that Daniel's character, as he's grown and matured in his faith, made all the difference. How do we live? How does our character shine forth? We respond with counsel and wisdom. When you're faced with the impossible tomorrow, respond with counsel and wisdom. When you're faced with the impossible tomorrow, trust God with the details and keep stepping out in faith. When you're faced with the impossible tomorrow, don't go it alone. Go to God in prayer and then seek the counsel of others around you that will speak wisdom into your life, that will speak godly counsel into your life, but people that will also go to God in prayer on your behalf. The last one we saw this morning is keep giving God the glory. Each step of the way, keep giving God the glory and keep taking that next step of faith. Friends, I don't know where you are at this morning. I don't know what you're facing tomorrow. But I know that we have a God who cares and a God who has equipped us with the Holy Spirit that will guide us as we walk into these situations, that will give us wisdom as we respond, that will give us strength as we step out in faith, that will give us the courage to do the next right thing. This morning, where are you at? I pray that this would be an encouragement to you, that your character born out of your time in God's Word would help you to move forward in faith. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, again we come before you this morning. Father, I'm so grateful that you desire to do a work in us. Father, as we trust you and as we continue to walk forward in faith, that Father, you give us wisdom and counsel, and Father, you help us to deal with these situations as they arise. Father, this morning I pray that each of us, as we take the next step, sometimes steps that seem impossible, sometimes steps that seem to be into the unknown, Father, I pray that you would give us the strength to do what is right. Father, I pray that we would learn to just trust you. And Father, I pray that we would bring other people into our lives that give us sound counsel. Father, this morning we love you. We appreciate that you love us so much. Father, help us this morning. In your name, amen.